Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you each and every weekday morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi Harvest Ridge Coffee. We're enjoying our delicious Harvest Ridge Coffee today, and sitting pretty with me is Catherine Meckes, who, do you have white shoes on today?
No, they're brown.
Okay, because it's after Labor Day.
Know.
I didn't want to have to chastise you. But you're still dressed in a very summery fashion.
Well,
it's very summery weather.
We're in a transitional time here. I like to give myself a little more time to extend the summer wardrobe, but, you know, switch to the brown shoes.
Switch to the brown shoes because you don't want any incidents involving me. Catherine and I have spent way too much time together, and I was just telling her that we had dinner together last Tuesday night. A group of people who are supporters of the Community Foundation got together. We had a lovely dinner and a great speaker from the University of Missouri, Kansas City. But at the end of his talk, I said, my head hurts, and I think it still does, because he gave out top drawer financial investing and charitable giving information. It was like getting a law degree in 1 hour. And I couldn't possibly absorb everything, but it was great. And the bottom line is the Community Foundation continues to educate people in our community about how easy it is to be charitable-minded and, frankly, how worthwhile it is, because why do you want to give more tax money to the government when you can give it to your community instead? So,
yes.
Welcome, Catherine,
thank you.
Thank you for providing that opportunity. I know a lot of sponsors were there, Benson Financial, Home Bank, a few others. You have to fill me in maybe, but I looked over at the Benson Financial table. They all understood it. And I looked at everybody at my table, and we're like, duh. And, of course, my husband was just like, can I have more rolls? So, you know.
It's like I said afterwards, there was no test.
Thank God.
You do not have to know all of this. You just have to be aware of it, right? Community Foundation, we're not giving, you know, advice on how to do all of this. You know, you as a donor do not have to memorize and understand how all of this works, but it's important to be aware of these opportunities so that when you go talk to your professional advisors, your accountant, your attorney, you've got some tools in your toolbox to kind of ask the question. That's all you need to do is ask the question.
That's the right question.
And that's
questions.
Their job to help you figure it out for your financial situation.
Well, this law professor is an expert in tax law and avoidance of taxes legally and in charitable giving. And the thing, I think the big takeaway from it, there were two big takeaways for me. The first takeaway was, if you're still in the workforce, you should be orienting your charitable giving to gifts of appreciated stock, because that's the most tax advantageous way to give if you're still in the workforce. If you're retired and taking minimal distributions from your IRA, those are your absolute best, not a Roth, but a regular IRA. Those are your absolute best ways to make a charitable contribution. So just those two tips right there, which are point 1A and point 1B, depending on where you are, were extremely valuable. And then the other thing is that the state of Illinois is going to have something special next year. Anybody who says the state of Illinois never does anything for taxpayers, oh my gosh, a miracle has occurred. In 2025, there is a special charitable giving. It's going to go for 5 years. And you can give to the Community Foundation in your community. Of course, here we mean the one serving West Central Illinois and Northeast Missouri. But, you know, if you tell your friends about it that live in Champaign-Urbana, they can do it too.
Right.
You can give to the charitable foundation, to the Community Foundation, and get a huge tax advantage. And why give money to the government when you can give it to the charities that need it in your hometown? So we're going to try to unpack a little bit of that today because Catherine is here. Let's start first with the idea that gifts of appreciated stock. A lot of times people say, well, I don't own any stock, or I only own a little bit of stock. Well, a lot of people have at least some stock. It's pretty good diversification of your portfolio. And the problem with it is, you know, if you've got a share of Apple that you bought when Apple was first issued, it's now worth a million times more than what it was. And when you sell it, you have to pay tax on that.
That's right.
But if you give it away, you get a charitable deduction.
That's
right. And you don't have to pay tax.
That's exactly right. So, yes, gifts of appreciated stock are very popular. At the Community Foundation, we have a number of donors who are taking advantage of this. And, you know, I think the important thing to know here is that, A, no one is giving purely for the tax advantage, right?
No, but
every gift has a cost. Every charitable gift has a cost. And, you know, if you can pay less tax on that gift, on the gift, the effective cost of the gift is reduced. So you're maximizing your charitable giving. And then it's a win-win, right? It's a win for the donor and it's a win for the nonprofit.
Yeah.
So, yes,
he showed us this big chart. It was like, if you give $100, in the end, you'll only give $40 or maybe even $20, really. Whereas if you give the $100 the way he recommends, you'll give like $60. Now, again, you know, this is too complex to explain on the radio. What we're trying to do is hit the high notes with these general, broad tips. And appreciated stock, which Mary Griffith doesn't begin to understand, except I do understand the concept that I've been putting money away in the stock market, you know, most of my adult working life, I'm still working, and that when I go to withdraw that, I'm going to have to pay tax on all that appreciation.
Yes.
And I don't really want to do that, although I have to, but there's ways to lessen the load.
That's right. So you make a gift of appreciated stock, and there's double tax savings on it. And again, I'm sharing this as informational. I am not a CPA or an attorney. So
this is like Catherine and I trying to explain how brain surgery works.
But
and don't go to us for brain surgery.
That's
but we'll
right.
tell you that brain surgery is a good idea if you need it. So
yes.
Consult your local brain surgeon.
So, but basically what Chris explained is that Chris Hoyt, who's a speaker, is that there's a double tax savings when you give appreciated stock. One, the charitable income tax is deducted for the full appreciated value. And then, two, you never pay income tax on the growth of the value of that stock. So, again, that appreciation, as you mentioned before, Mary, you're going to pay taxes on that. So it's a win-win for the donor, and it's a win-win for the nonprofit who can take that and channel it into growing their mission.
Very, very good. Now, that is a great way to give until you retire. You can still do it after you retire, but the tax advantages for giving from your IRA, you have to take a minimal distribution from your IRA. If you've already converted to complete Roth, then you don't have to pay taxes, so this doesn't affect you. But a lot of people have a combination of traditional or Roth, and if you've got a traditional IRA, one of the great things you can do is take that minimal disbursement and give it to a charity. And again, your impact is much greater and you don't have to pay as much tax on it.
That's right.
And the bottom line is, the thing about IRAs, even when you give them to your children, the children have to pay tax on it.
That's
right.
There's
no way. The government is not letting you get out this world without paying some of this tax. So
yes.
Give your kids the things that aren't taxable, and give your charities the things that are taxable, and both win. We're not saying disown your children, never give anything more to a charity, you know, one charity of your choice. It's not that. It's just that the Community Foundation can take that money and give you such a tax break and make it so worthwhile for you that it kind of is a no-brainer once you get the idea in your head. It's kind of when they have no tax day, back to school. So you go buy your shoes and your computers and your clothes and everything because you save 8% that day. Well, duh, this is what is being offered to you is no tax day or minimal tax day.
That's right. That's right. And with those IRA gifts, so once you're 70 and a half or older, you're able to take what we call a qualified charitable distribution. So you don't have to take your required minimum distribution until you're 73. But starting at 70 and a half, you can go ahead and start using that IRA essentially as like a charitable giving checkbook. You know, instead of letting it build up or making your gifts from your own, you know, actual just personal checking account, you just tell your IRA provider to send a check to the Community Foundation, send a check to Horizon, send a check to Arts Quincy, you know, wherever you want your charitable giving to go. Once you're 70 and a half, start using that IRA as your little charitable checking account there.
And that's when he talked about the charitable checking account.
Mm-hmm.
The way that this is going to work is so so great. And the appreciated stock before your age of retirement and traditional IRA gifts after your age of retirement are two great ways to really help charities and lower your tax burden. And by lowering your tax burden, you're not hurting anybody. You're just making sure that more of your hard-earned money, which you already paid tax on once. I mean, I'm paying capital gains all the time, so I mean, it drives you crazy sometimes. You feel like I'm just being taxed upon tax upon tax. Not to forget, not to mention, if you're very wealthy, the estate tax. Now, that leads us into number two, which is a special thing that the state of Illinois has. Now, this is a little bit more complex, but that's where this checkbook attitude comes from, because you are going to be seeking, or the state of Illinois is going to be, or do you seek this or do they assign this to you? Because you're going to get an X amount that you can, it's like a $1 billion pile, right? Is that what?
It's actually only $5 million statewide, but this is okay. What you're referring to is, yes, the Illinois gives 25% state tax credit. So this is brand new. It's still going through rules. So we do not have all the details on how exactly this is going to work yet, but it was passed into law this spring. And so beginning in 2025, a donor to an endowed fund at an Illinois community foundation can claim a 25% tax credit on their Illinois income tax return. So the thing to keep in mind here is that if you're making this gift, it has to be to a community foundation. It has to be to an endowed fund, and that endowed fund has to specifically benefit Illinois nonprofits or causes. So you can give to an endowed fund that's already set up for your favorite nonprofit. We mentioned Horizons and Arts Quincy earlier in our conversation. They both have endowments at the Community Foundation. So this is a great way to help boost up the sustainability of your favorite nonprofit and get a 25% tax credit up to $100,000 on your Illinois state income tax.
Now, the great thing about this is the Community Foundation already has these funds all existing. So there's funds that support almost everything you can imagine. There are funds that support the Humane Society. There's funds that support the Symphony. There's funds that support everything you could possibly imagine. So instead of making your gift directly to that charity, you make it to the endowment that names that charity, which is held within the Community Foundation, and you get this 25% tax credit up to $100,000. Now, if anybody out there is listening and says, that's not nearly enough for me,
that's where the and comes in, Mary. That's right. Where the and comes in, because we want you to continue supporting the day-to-day operations
right.
of your favorite nonprofit, right? You want to keep making gifts directly to them because they need day-to-day operating support. But the beauty of also support supporting their endowment is that you can get this tax credit, and over time you really help building the sustainability, because the bigger that endowment gets, the bigger the annual payout's going to be to that nonprofit, and the more they can focus on their mission instead of fundraising every day.
That is so critical, because it is not only your gifts that are for day-to-day operations this year, but the Community Foundation is for the long-term health and financial longevity of an organization. So the state of Illinois has recognized that community foundations are uniquely equipped to do these endowment funds, that they are uniquely equipped to handle this kind of charitable load, and that is why this Illinois fund has been started, this Illinois opportunity has been started. Now, one thing I remember the lawyer saying, usually when you think about your charitable gifts, you wait till November and December. But he's saying that get this in the front of your brain for January, February, March, because that $5 million will be allocated somehow among these community foundations. I don't know if it's per capita or if you apply for it or whatever. But anyway, Adams County or West Central Illinois is only going to get X. Okay.
Right. So no one community foundation will be able to issue more than 15% of the total. And again, it's all going through rules. So how that's all
right.
allocated is yet to be determined. But to try to make this equitable through the state, so that the Chicagoland area doesn't
take all $5 million
in a day.
And the community foundations all work well together, so they wouldn't want to do that.
No.
They don't want to poach from
this
each other
anyway.
This
is for the entire state.
But it's for the entire state. So what you want to do is, if you are in a situation where you really want to gift and get this extra special tax credit, and I mean, again, who doesn't want to lower their taxes? It's all legal. We're not subterfuge. You're not trying to do anything illegal. You're not trying to under the table. This is all done by lawyers. It's all going through the Rules Committee now so they can get the exact legalese to make it happen. But this is a way for you to give money to the Community Foundation in the year 2025, do it early on because once these tax credits are used up, they're gone.
You got to wait till next year.
Got to wait till next year. It's a five-year program, but so if you really want to be in on the top of this and you think you'd like to be part of this and you'd like to make a pretty good gift next year to the Community Foundation, maybe you've been thinking, I really ought to do that, but I've never gotten around to it. Here we are in September, you know, before Christmas, give them a call and they're going to probably know by then the ins and outs of how this is all going to work and get you on the front page. It's kind of like the solar, you know, everybody's putting solar panels on their roof. There's only so many tax credits to go around. I made sure I had the tax credit before I bought the solar, you know.
Sure.
You have to have if A, then B. So you don't want to, you want to make sure you're in on the early group of people that are going to be doing this. Because number one, it benefits the Community Foundation here locally. And number two, it benefits you so incredibly.
It's really, again, we talk about win-wins. This is a win-win-win because it's a win for the donor. It's a win for, you know, our Community Foundation. And ultimately, it's a win for the nonprofits who are going to be benefiting from these gifts forever. Because any nonprofit organization, a C3, you know, your schools can establish an endowment. And so this is something that is going to broadly impact the sustainability of our nonprofits and the quality of life throughout the entire state.
Okay. So we're going to leave you today on this note. My head hurts so bad after listening to this attorney, but in a good way, because I'm like, wow, I'm getting edumacated. And I do remember, and I've told this story before, my mother, who's a pretty smart gal, you know, but she had a good financial advisor who helped her after my father passed away. And it was, you know, she was the only sole, you know, person then. She had to have this conglomerate, you know. His simple word of advice to her about something she had never heard of helped her children and helped our community and will do so now for decades to come. So again, you don't have to feel silly if you've never heard of this stuff or you don't understand this advice. Somebody out there does understand this. It's just a matter of asking the right questions. So if you're thinking about lowering your tax bite legally, start thinking about gifts of appreciated stock if you're still working. Start thinking about charitable contributions directly from your traditional IRA if you're retired. Start thinking about, I'd like to really start giving more money to charity. I'm in my later years. I've got my family taken care of. I've got my situation set. I want to make sure I give as much as possible without incurring tax. And I certainly don't want my kids to pay all this estate tax. He showed a way that you can, if you're just barely over that estate tax, which in Illinois I think is $5 million or $4 million or something like that, mm-hmm. He showed how if you just are $1 above that, you can lose almost $1 million giving money to your kids, whereas if you just gave $100,000 to a charity, your kids would get the $1 million.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's amazing how it works, but it does work. So start ruminating this. Talk to whoever you have to talk to, and then later this year, talk to the Community Foundation because they'll have some more of the rules and regulations in place, and you'll be the first out of the gate to get the big tax credit next year.
That's right, and we're here to, you know, kind of provide some of this information so that you can then go talk to your own financial advisors because it's always incredibly important for you to understand how this will or won't work within your own financial situation. So we're happy to provide the information and chat about it, but always seek professional advice.
Seek professional advice. Don't go to Catherine and Mary for your brain surgery.
That's right.
And even though we can talk a little bit about it, please don't come to us.
This is not advice.
For your investment planning. Thank you. It is 20 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour. We're going to step away. Rex Battery brings you this report, and then we'll learn about what the Camp Point Historical Society has in store. We're back, Talk Radio 930, WTAD 944, and I am pleased to have Pat Doyle Grace, I got it right, who is here from the Camp Point Historical Society. They've got a house tour that's coming up Sunday, September 15th from 1 to 4, and we're going to talk about the houses that are on the tour and how you can get tickets. And but first, I want to learn a little bit more about Pat. Pat, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you're involved in the Camp Point Historical Society, please.
Okay. I grew up in the Camp Point Clayton area. And have always been interested in history. I was a history major in college. And we kept my mother's house in Camp Point, although my husband and I live in St. Louis. And I've always been interested in the Historical Society. My mother was one of the founders of that in the 1980s. And then later on, somebody decided to ask all the children of the original members if they would be members of the board. So that's why I'm interested in it, and I love coming and
I love
doing this
that.
Work.
I love doing the work that your parents have set you on the course for. Well, let's talk about this tour. It's Sunday, September 15th from 1 to 4. Tickets are $12, and you can get them at the Farmer State Bank or the North Adams State Bank on Highway 24. And on the day of the tour, you can still get a ticket, but it's $15. Now, let's talk about the stops on the tour. Please take us through that and give us just a brief insight. Of course, we want to go on the tour and learn everything, but you can give us a brief rundown.
Okay. First of all, I want to say that this is our second Porches and Pies tour, and people ask us why that is. Many of the historical houses in Camp Point do have large front porches. That was common of the houses that were built in the late 1880s and the early 1900s. The second thing is that one of the things we offer with the tour is homemade pies. The pies and refreshments are going to be at the Christian Church this year, and those pies are donated by the people from the various churches in Camp Point.
Oh, so it's good eats. We know
yes, it
it's going to be good eats. So okay. I guess we can start in any particular order because obviously when people go on the tour, it's you'll want to be them to be spread out, I'm sure. So
sure.
So just talk about the tour in general, please.
Okay. We have three historical houses built in the late 1800s to the early 1900s, all designed by the famous architect Lambert Huber, who lived in Camp Point. We have two new houses that are very known for their design and their personal historical touches. And we have one historical church. The Christian Church of Camp Point was dedicated in 1913, and it was designed by Lambert Huber. One of the things that comes with the tour is when you buy a ticket, you get a brochure of several pages, and it talks about all of the separate, has a picture of each house and a historical background on it. There's a map inside so that it's easy to see where you're going. For the various houses.
And it's a keepsake because then you always have that information. And when you drive through Camp Point again for the tours to come, you can say, oh, I remember we went there last year and I know a little bit about that and I can refresh my memory. Well, let's start about one of the stops on the tour is the Hamilton Lummis Funeral Home. Of course, most funeral homes started as a regular home, right?
They did, and this one did too. It's been a funeral home, however, since 1954. Two or three families have owned it, and it is owned by Ben Hamilton and his wife now.
And so you're going to get to walk through that historic home and, and see the features from 1902. I'm sure it was the latest and the greatest at the
time it was
built.
Yes.
So we'll be able to compare and contrast.
Yes, and
as
many,
they say.
And many people might have already been in that home for funerals.
Well,
if you're around that area.
Will we only be in that area, or will there be some hidden gems that most people don't get to see when they're on the commercial, when they go to a visitation?
Yes, there will be some hidden gems in each house.
Okay, that is fantastic. So then, moving on.
Another house is what many people would recognize as the Victorian Inn Bed and Breakfast. It was built in 1900, and of course it was a private residence with a two-story carriage house that is still there. And from 2000 to 2020, it was a bed and breakfast. And it won a lot of awards. I won't go into all of them, but they're in the brochure about it.
Okay.
Then another thing that we have is the Christian Church. That was designed by Lambert Huber also. And it's very historic, and it has a beautiful, beautiful stained glass window, large stained glass window, which was just redone by the congregation, just restored.
That cost some money.
Yes, it did.
Oh, boy, but yes, it's so worth it. It's so worth it, you know, when churches make that commitment to keep an historical place up. That is a great commitment, and again, just goes to show that the church is saying, hey, we've been here since 1913, and we plan on being here till 2113, probably, and here's our beautiful stained glass window to show for it. I love it.
Yes.
So again, we'll probably get in places in the church that aren't just where the regular pews sit.
That's right.
We may get to go in other aspects of it and just learn more about it. Because some of these churches, like I said, been in the funeral home, you've been in the church, but do you really know much about it or what makes it architecturally significant? That's what these are learning. Fascination of learning. Okay. And what else is on the tour?
Well, I want to put in a note here about Lambert Hubert, because we used some of his houses and the Masonic Temple on our last Porches and Pies tour. He came from Germany when he was a young man. He was known as a wonderful carpenter and cabinet maker, and he always featured beautiful woods in the houses that he did and the buildings that he did. One of the other buildings that's, of course, not on this tour is the Lewis Round Barn that is at the Adams County Fairground. He designed that, and it was finished in 1914. And it was a very unusual. It was one of the largest barns in the Midwest in that time, and it was very unusual because of its feeding systems coming down the outside of this round barn and then in the center of it. And so people can still go see that.
I think sometimes we don't realize that a lot of the stuff we look at, because we don't put them together, it takes something like this historical tour to put it together in our minds that, this one man was great at developing a feed delivery system in a round barn. He was great at building a church. He was great at building a home. I mean, you know, the architectural significance of tying them all together, maybe getting people to understand, now I can look for other signatures. Maybe I'll see some of his other work and I'll be able to recognize it on my own. And that's always fun. You know, these German craftsmen that came in and lived in this area, and we can credit John Wood for a lot of that, because John Wood only knew how to build a log cabin. And his wife said, hey, we're a lot wealthier than that now. We can afford more. He goes, I don't know how to build a house. That's when the German onslaught started, because these people were smart enough to say, we're from New England. We don't have these skills. Let's get these German craftsmen. They're anxious to come to the United States. And, of course, they poured into our area.
Yes, they did.
And, you know, they each little town, Golden, Camp Point, Quincy, they've all got their German, they all have a German village. And they were all built by Germans and Dutch people primarily, you know, in the, after, 1835 or so, when the gates were opened. It's just amazing, you know, the architecture and everything. So
yes, I must put in something. That's how my German family got here. They were stone cutters from Germany, and they came to work in Quincy.
Yeah, it's very interesting. We were brick masons. Was, you know, how some of my family got here. A lot of people, you know the barn at Windsong Acres. You know, again, that's another. I'm looking at your notes here. Not that I knew that. People are like, Mary Griffith is so smart. No, Pat has provided me with good, but this Lambert Huber, so we're going to learn a lot about him. There are six buildings on this tour, right?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
And two of them are new houses that have been chosen because of their architectural interest. One of them is a home owned by the Bauckhams. The Bauckhams had a very historical home that they lived in for a long time in Camp Point, and they wanted to build a new house that would hold all of their expanding grandchildren and families. And so, but they've used a lot of the historical ideas and historical things from their other house in this new house.
So when was this new house built?
Just a couple of years ago.
Just a couple of years ago.
Yes, it was finished in 2021.
It will be very different, but yet will have hearkening to the back. Yeah, it'll be modern, but it will hearken.
Some of it will
hearken back to the traditional roots.
Yes.
And so if you've ever wanted to go inside that house, now's your chance. If you don't get invited over for pie on a regular basis, you can at least have pie there one time in your life. And what's the other new house on there?
It's the Van Zandt home. Charles Van Zandt is a builder, and he took the foundation of the original home that was there and used that for their new home that they built. I think that it's only been built about a year or so. And so it has a big porch on it too, just like an older home would have.
Well, some things are such a good idea. Why mess with tradition, right?
That's right.
And I think small town America, I remember I was talking to Lynn Niewanner once, and she was talking when she was on the Area Agency on Aging. They were building senior housing out in the countryside, and the HUD plans came, and Lynn goes, No, we have to have a porch. Every unit has to have a porch. Doesn't have to be a big grand porch. Doesn't have to be a wraparound porch, but every unit's got to have a porch. No, we don't do that. I said, you may not do it out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but we do it here. Everybody wants a porch. Everybody sits out front. talks to their neighbors when they walk by is part of our culture and custom. Mm-hmm. Architecture is part of the culture and custom, and we just don't think about it enough. We take mm-hmm. it for granted. But things are designed with people in mind. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this Lambert Hubert did all this, because, you know, again, he's one of those people that his signature is everywhere. That name Huber is everywhere in our community.
Yes,
and that architect Lambert Hubert is everywhere in our community. So these six stops are going to be on Sunday, September 15th from 1 mm-hmm. to 4. Get your tickets in advance. Save a little bit of money, $12 in advance at Farmer State Bank or North Adams State Bank. Or the day of the tour, you can buy them at $15 at any of the houses. Mm-hmm. They won't be on sale at the church, but that's where the pie will be served. So people can start anywhere and just wander.
Yes, they can.
The way they want to go. Why is it important to have this? What's the purpose of this?
Well, we try to promote. There are two reasons for it. We try to promote recognition of the history that's in the Camp Point area. And we've had historical barn tours and historical cemetery tours. But the other thing is, it does help us as a society. We're a nonprofit society. We do not have tax support. So revenue from this type of thing helps us pay for the insurance and the utilities and that type of thing. We have a room, a heritage room, attached to the back of the Camp Point Library.
Okay. Each little community I know this year is going to be helping Adams County celebrate the 200th birthday, and Camp Point is no different. So this is a time when all of the smaller communities are sprucing up a little bit, mm-hmm. putting out the welcome wagon and saying, come and see what we have to offer. And this might be the first volley. It's not the 200th anniversary yet, but you can go to this Historical Society house tour, and frankly, there's two modern homes on it too. Mm-hmm. So if you like old stuff, but you also like new stuff, this has the best of both worlds.
Yes.
The absolute most modern architecture, mm-hmm. and then some of the ancient, or not ancient, but older architecture that made Camp Point, were the bastions of Camp Point, the people that built the big, beautiful mansion houses. Isn't it amazing how the craftsmanship from that time still stands up?
Yes, it is.
And I bet those new home builders are like, we better hope that our house can be on a tour in 100 years. We will note that. We will see that. You and I won't be here, but maybe somebody will be sitting at this microphone talking to your granddaughter saying, hey, tell us about when Grandma and Great-Grandma started this thing. Again, you can get your tickets. It all benefits at the Camp Point Historical Society. For more information, is there a website or is there a place we can go to get more information?
Yes, Facebook. We have a site on Facebook, and that's a good way to look.
Okay. That sounds like a great way to end this whole Shoot and Match this morning. I want to thank Pat Doyle Grace for coming today and being part of the Mary Griffith Show. And I encourage everybody to get out Sunday, September 15th, anytime between 1 and 4. Get your pie, see the porch, six houses and... five houses and one church. You can't go wrong. Thank you.